keeps us together? What unifies us? What makes us one? Whether it's a country, a club, a family, we have to be organized around something. And what about the church? Do we actually have a reason to get together other than obligation? We're going to try to figure all this out right here, right now. Stay tuned for the Corner of Truth and Life. Welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall. The last couple of shows, we've been talking a little bit about church and what our perceptions of church are, how we understand what church is, what the word means. And we've talked about that so often when we say the word church, we really mean a building with a point on the top of it. We mean a religious thing where you go and you maybe do religious stuff. But we usually mean either a place or an activity. But is that really what church is? And in the previous shows, we've talked about the fact that, biblically speaking, just looking at what the Bible says, the word church in the Bible is referring to a group of people, not an activity or a place. In fact, the early church, as we call it, the church when it started, didn't have any one place where it met a lot of different places, and they would hang out in the temple, they would hang out in people's homes, and there wasn't a centralized location. And so our idea of church being a place you go to, really the first century Christians wouldn't have any concept of that. They didn't perceive of church as being centered around a location. It was a group of people. And so right off the bat, when we think about that, we realize that already we have to make some fairly substantial changes to our conception of what does it mean to go to church. And so if you're a church person, or if you're not a church person, and you say, well, I'm not really much of a church person, you're probably referring to an organization. Perhaps you say, none of them. Doesn't matter what kind of church, I'm just not a church person. But you're still thinking of a place and an organization, because that is what we have come to understand church to be. But that's not what the Bible says. And that's why, here on the show, we're here about truth and life, because we want to look at how does our real life line up with the truth. And so often we have these ideas that are really not in the Bible. And the idea of church as a place as opposed to a group of people is one of the big things we have to rethink. So we'll start there. And that's the previous episode was talking about that, of being a group of people. So then the next thing is, all right, so if that's the case, where do we go from there, and what makes a group of people a church? So there's a song that I don't remember who recorded it. I should have looked this up ahead of time. But it's, love, love will keep us together. And that's not a church song. It wasn't. It's not talking about the church. But when it talks about, well, if we understand church as not being an organization, nor a building or a religious activity, but a group of people, then the minute you say it's a group of people, you have to decide, well, what is the organizing principle of this group of people? What makes them a group? A political party is organized around a certain group of principles. A family is organized around a certain group of, that's usually somewhat biological, but relational relations. A town is centered around geography primarily, but every group has an organizing principle or a thing that defines it as a group. That's how you know who's in and who's out. And the church is called, as we mentioned this in the previous episode, the called out ones. So what characterizes the church, first and foremost, is that they have been called out. All right, so who calls them out? Well, that would be God, Jesus, called out to what? Called out to a new relationship. So it's defined by a relationship with Jesus, that they have accepted Jesus's love, accepted Jesus's sacrifice. But it says also that they were called out into this new group called the body of Christ, which is made up of all the other people who are called out. All the ones who have been called out are now part of each other. And then the Bible is very clear what the primary organizing principle of this new group is. It's the love of God. That this group understands how much God loves them and therefore loves one another. And then loves everyone else too. And that's the big trick, because it's not just, the Bible explicitly says it's not just that they love one another. That's at the heart of it. They love God. And because they love God, they love one another. And because they love God and they love one another, they also love outsiders. And that's, a lot of groups maybe aren't outsider focused, because the whole point of being in the group is get in, and you have more privileges by being in, right? You have more acceptance, more everything. But the church comes together and centers around being loved by God, loving each other, and then loving the outsider. So if we go back and look at the first churches, the very beginning, one of the first things that happened is the first day they had church, they had 3,000 people join. 3,000 people. We've made news at Bean's Corner just by needing to build a new building because we had, you know, maybe 40, 50 extra people and didn't have enough seats. And that made the papers that we had to build a new church building because there's more people. Wow, you know. And now, you know, if we have 200-300 people, people are like, whoa, that's a lot of people. But the first day of church in Jerusalem, the first day the church really got together and started doing anything, they had 3,000 people join. And then it says that daily more people kept joining. So that was 3,000 just the first day. So when you picture that, you can't picture just a little group of, you know, 8 to 10, 20, 30, 80, 100 people, even 200, 300 people in one building, kind of being a club. You can't get that picture at all because, A, they didn't. The only place they could get that many people together and really hang out, they hung out at the temple. And the temple wasn't theirs. The temple was, A, a public place, and B, it was primarily being controlled by people who had killed Jesus. And yet that's where they went and hung out. So when you picture that that's what the early church looked like, it's so different than what we do today. Now, I'm not saying that what we do today is wrong, but it's definitely not the only way to do it right. In fact, it's not even close. And so often, whatever church you go to may struggle with remembering what it was like. Because none of us were there, obviously. That's 2,000 years ago. And so in many churches today, if you come in as a visitor, it's going to be awkward. Because you're like, where do I sit and what do I do? And it's very foreign. But the early church was adding new people every week. And I'll tell you, that's my goal, is to be welcoming to the point of new people every week. Now, how did they do that? They were just nice. They didn't change their message. Their message was tough. That Jesus had died and risen again, that he was the Jewish Messiah. And to Jews, that was heresy. It also emphasized that you're going to have to give up a lot. And that's hard in our American culture. We do not want to give up anything. We don't want to give up our identities. We don't want to give up our rights. We don't want to give up our pleasures, our lifestyle choices. All those are sacred to us. And yet this church, this called out, was to come out of all that. And that was tough back then. It's tough now. And there's a lot of people who won't go to a church that asks them to give anything up. If the church will just say, hey, you're good as you are, there's nothing, no cost, not to join, but to come to Jesus. If there's nothing that it demands of me in return, not to get it, but in return, well, then I won't go. But the early church, they gave up stuff. Why? Because living in relationship with other people always costs. When I was single, I had no obligation to very many people. I used to keep a sleeping bag in the back of my car Because if I was out with friends or out visiting someone and it got late, I could just stay the night. Because my refrigerator and my microwave didn't care if I came home to see them at night. Didn't miss me. My armchair wasn't like, oh, he didn't come home last night. Didn't care. I was free. Then I got married, and suddenly there was someone who wanted me home preferably before bedtime. You know, wanted to spend time with me. And, you know, to be clear, I wanted to spend time with her too. And then we had kids, and there was a whole more level of obligation. But it wasn't an obligation to get the relationship, it's just that being in the relationship always costs you. And anytime you don't understand that a relationship is going to cost you, you're probably not going to have healthy relationships for very long. Because they cost us. And the beauty of the relationship in the church is that we start with a relationship with Jesus where he said, I'll pay the upfront costs. He died on the cross. He said, I'll pay to get the relationship started. I'll do all the work. And now it does cost us, but not the same way. It's just that now we love him back and we're not paying him back. You can't pay him back. There's just no way you can pay that. And we love one another, and loving one another costs us. Because if I love my neighbor, I have to give up stuff my own way. That's why I give to the church. I don't give to the church because the church demands it. I give to it because relationships require maintenance. And sometimes that means contributing. I like having a building to meet in and a place where my kids can go. So that requires me to contribute my resources. I'm not required to. But the very act of loving others requires me. And that's where we get the difference. These things are not demanded of me. They are me receiving. When I accepted my wife, I made a commitment to then serve her. And service costs me. But our group is defined by trying to love others. And a group that, as it takes care of itself, is welcoming. Not because it just says, oh, whatever you think is fine. No, it's not about that. No, there's a cost. Jesus said, hey, if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you. But not, you have to pay me to love you. No, I'm going to love you for free, and I'm going to give you life for free. I'm going to pay the price. But receiving it, there is an exchange. You will give up things to receive it. Not so I'll give it to you. I'm offering it to you for free. But entering into any relationship causes you to change. And if it doesn't cause you to change, that's not a relationship. You might use someone, but it's not a relationship. And so church becomes a community based on relationships, based on love. And love brings us together. And then proclaiming how much God loves us, proclaiming how much God did, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the good news that, hey, he loves us, he cares for us. That's what organizes and brings it together, not a bunch of religious moments, not a building, not a club, not dues, but love. And proclaiming that love and sharing that love and giving that love, sacrificing for one another, not because we have to, but because we love. That's church. And if that's not how you've experienced church, well, then maybe you've never really experienced what the New Testament calls church. Think about that today, and I hope that it encourages you. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.